Chapter 6, Dedication. The pupus must begin by giving and not by asking. Only then will the mystery of the overflowing measure be revealed to them. What do they have to give? First, their heart. Second, their soul. Third, their devotion. Fourth, their absolute faith. Fifth, their intelligence. Sixth, their faculties. Seventh, their eye. Give, and it will be given to you. We have chosen this fragment from a text of the spiritual school called the Sevenfold Sacrifice to indicate the essential nature of the sixth ray of the Spirit, unshakable dedication, which is the ray that corresponds to the offering of all our faculties and that must fill the sixth chamber of our etheric heart. And here's the question. What is dedication in the sense of the sixth ray of the Spirit? Saying it in a simple and direct way and reinforcing what is said in the sixth place in the text, the Sevenfold Sacrifice, dedication is the act of offering all the capacities of the I-being to the Absolute Being. However, maybe it would be good at this point, before we delve into this idea, that we understand a little better the way the rays act in the world and how they influence all of humanity. From what has been dealt with so far in the preceding chapters, it should have become clear that the seven rays of the Spirit have always been present at all times, enabling and manifesting the universal purpose of life. By this, we mean that the purpose has always been fulfilled, is being fulfilled, and will always be fulfilled. During all epochs and ages, humanity has been touched by these seven powers, these seven rays of the Spirit, regardless of their form of manifestation in each of these epochs. We must understand that these powers are the manifestation of the will of the One that will always be realized in one way or another. Thus, in each epoch, people reacted to these powers according to their state of consciousness and manifested a corresponding state of life. The highest intention of the seven rays is to bring humanity into a gradual awakening and transformation of consciousness, so that one day everyone can respond positively to the seven rays and return to the fullness of the universal manifestation, endowed with full consciousness and realization of the universal purpose in their own being. In the structure of the etheric heart, explained in the introductory chapter, the seven rays can be arranged into a triangle and a square. The three rays, which form the triangle, act in aspects that human beings must develop within themselves as attributes. And the four rays, which are part of the square, show what must be accomplished and materialized externally based on what has been built inwardly. The rays of the triangle and the square alternate, so that at one time, one of the rays may form part of the triangle and reveal an internal aspect, while at another time, the same ray may form part of the square and reveal an aspect of realization. We say this because not so long ago, the sixth way of the spirit, the way of dedication, was part of the square. And for that reason, we can understand why the dedication of humanity was an external factor, which makes it clearer why there was the emergence of countless religions to worship a deity that was not yet understood and lived within. It was the time of various religious manifestations, of sacrifices, among others. However, in our time this has changed. Now the sixth way is part of the inner triangle and reveals that dedication is something that must be experienced within, and the temple in which this must be performed is the temple within the human being. Perhaps now it will be a little clearer what we read in the Bible. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And why is it important to know all this? Because the sixth way, the way of unshakable dedication, has a direct relationship with the center of human creative force in matter, which is found in the pelvic chakra, which represents the sum of all our creative abilities and gifts. In this way, when we understand that all our creative talents must be offered to the new life that arises in us, then we overcome all separation between spiritual life and material life. This is the secret of synthesis, transmutation, and the full life and reality of the one new life. Hermes, the thrice great, referred to this synthesis when he stated that what is above is like what is below. For this reason, dedication is never a mystical feeling, much less an obsession with achieving a false holiness or perfection in life, which distances you from the reality and potential of your own being. This synthesis occurs after the battle carried out through the fourth way and the decision to transform knowledge into wisdom, that is, to place in the power of the fifth way all divine intelligence in the practice of life. In this way, whenever dedication is understood as a feeling, we try to do it only with the heart, without taking into account the reality of life. Thus, we are subject to the influences and projections of the astral body and its desires. And as a consequence, we see the rise of religious fanatism, which always leads to extremism, violence, and death. These days speak for themselves. Do we realize how sad this is? People kill in the name of God because they have not carried out the true fourth way combat within themselves. And they also do not react positively to the influence of all the ways following, and thus project this conflict outwards. And the result is well known: religious and political fanatism, prejudice, intolerance, among others. In the same way, those who do not resort to outer violence, but who also do not fight the inner battle lose themselves in a negative mysticism, reacting to the influences of the sixth way, believing that their contemplative belief will save them. These are those who deny the reality of life in the name of a meaningless idealization, become theorists, read day and night about the sacred, but do not realize the true offering of all their real capacities. For the serious seekers on the path, all this must turn into a deep reflection on their own life. Such seekers should ask if they are only willing to be touched and to be flooded by the touch of truth, or if they are already willing to transform everything that has touched them and that they have understood into a practical reality through the only means available to them, their attitude and their daily life. If despite having been touched by the all-embracing field of truth and having clearly understood what needs to be done, we continue to be exactly what we have always been, we cannot speak of a positive reaction to the sixth way of the Spirit. For this reason, a text from the Upanishads tells us, those who by faith and dedication have become one with Brahman, they have freed themselves from the wheel of life and death. However, the key to realizing this dedication to the Absolute Being, to Brahman, is given in this text below by an unknown author. The cross is lifted up, the form is deposited there, and on that cross life must be transformed. Each builds a cross that forms a cross. As we said before, the entrance of the Spirit takes place in human beings in two ways. First of all, it needs to be released as a potential power in the etheric heart. That is, it needs to spring from the Absolute Being and fill every space, every chamber of the etheric heart of the human being. Second, the Spirit must penetrate concretely into the system of life of the human being to transform their soul and also corporeal structure. This occurs through the entry and unfolding of the seven ways of the Spirit through the fiery pineal circle and through their entry into the human spinal energy system, also known in the universal teaching as the serpent fire. For this reason, in the symbolic allegory of the Gospel, Jesus is crucified on Mount Golgotha, a name that literally means skull. In this way, the power of the seven ways descends vertically through the pineal, and so the vertical pillar of the cross is organically constructed in the human being. The entrance of the seven ways of the Spirit is through the pinealis, which is at the top of the skull. Thus, the original form, the archetype of the new body, is deposited in the human being, and life can be transformed. Therefore, for the universal teaching, the cross was never the symbol of an unspeakable and personal suffering, but of a luminous transformation that can and one day must be accomplished by every human being. Where the sacred, the vertical pillar, the seven ways of the Spirit, unites with material reality, the horizontal beam, We find again the original archetype of the human being, the etheric heart, the rose of the heart, filled with the radiance of the seven rays of the spirit, like a rose of flaming fire. In this way, each one must rebuild their cross, the archetype of the new body, which is the testimony of their self-surrender and their dedication to the touch of the spirit. And of what is this cross made? This is no longer the cross of pain and blood, but the cross of light, the cross that transformed and raised life to a new activity, the cross that again united matter and spirit through the seven rays of the spirit and the absolute being, which blossomed in the heart like a radiant rose. This is the cross of a true Rosicrucian. Thus, dear reader, it is clear why it is not possible to walk the path of the rose and the cross without the sixth ray of the spirit, absolute dedication, which means offering all the capacities of our own being to the absolute being. Perhaps as we read all this and looking at ourselves, we think, what do I have to offer me in my smallness? What do I have to offer? Looking at myself, I cannot recognize what I must do, of what these capabilities I must offer consist, and how to make this a reality in my life. At the beginning of this chapter, we said that the sixth way of the spirit must transform the creative center that manifests in the pelvic chakra and the human material creative force. Perhaps this is still not very clear, because in reality, in the state of consciousness and of life in which we find ourselves, we forget that even in the apparent smallness of our life, in reality, we are also entities with great creative powers. We are like real little gods, little creators. However, at the same time, and this is where the main obstacle in our path lies, we are, in the figurative language of the universal teaching, worshippers of images, worshippers of clay idols, that is, of an image of oneself. Symbolically, the human being was created from clay, from the cosmic root substance activated by a breath of the spirit. As self-creating beings, human beings create in exactly the same way. They breathe into everything that manifests the breath of their consciousness, into the matter that surrounds them, into the clay, and thus create thought images and desire images, also of their image and likeness. In this way, even without realizing it, we spend a good part of our time idealizing, designing, and trying to model our dear clay idols, our individual creations, the projections of our own I-being, which in many ways resemble hobbies, true toys of grown children, always giving these creations a reflection of our own image, imprinting our face, our appearance on them, especially in relation to those who are closest to us. Our partner, don't we want him or her to be exactly the way we would like, that is, a perfect image of ourselves? Or else our children, so often poor victims of our unrealizable dreams and impossible projections. How much weight do we put on their little shoulders without realizing it or even without meaning to? What about our work, our friendships, all our relationships, and why not say the very spiritual path that we seek? In many ways, isn't this path also an escape from reality through an idealization of a perfect self, a perfect version of ourselves that protects us from the pain of our poignant imperfections? We go on with our lives using our creative abilities, building countless idols out of clay, worshipping them, and forcing them on others and ourselves, like strange and misfit masks. These are all our creative capacities in action, consciously or not. So, what does it mean to be placed before the sixth ray of the Spirit? For all those who seriously yearn to walk the spiritual path, this means two very simple and concrete things. First, let us be aware that all our acts are creative acts. This means living consciously, consequently. Secondly, that we have the courage to offer all our gifts, everything that transforms us in large and small actions, into creators of our world. Yes, to offer such capacities to the One, to the Absolute Being in us. The One has this name because between it, which is the heart of our being, and all the circumstances that come to us, such as destiny, karma, our biological heritage, or whatever name we prefer to give it, there is not any separation. The One manifests itself in and through real life. Therefore, every time we seek a projection of the perfect being and turn away and turn our backs on what life puts in front of us, we deviate from it. Therefore, the One manifests itself in what we need and must do, and not in what we imagine we should do. Therefore, the One manifests itself in what we need and must do, and not in what we imagine we should do. For example, let's think about our family. It is easy to live in peace with all of humanity and difficult to live with those who are so close to us. To discover the extent of our ability to understand our fellow human beings, we don't need to look very far. Just try to put it into practice with that person who is closest to us, that impossibly close person. As we unreservedly offer this ability to that person so close to us, even knowing that we may not be able to go very far, then we will discover how real or theoretical our understanding is. For in this way, we will have challenged our selfishness in its deepest and most real foundation. Once the theorists of their time sarcastically asked Christ, "You speak of the Father, show us the Father. You speak of the Mother, show us the Mother." And he replied, "If you have seen your brother and you have felt his love, then you have seen the Father. If you have seen your sister and you have felt her love, then you have seen the Mother. The Father Mother of the universe is not far away. The One is closer than hands and feet. It takes shape in the faces, hearts, and hands of those close to us. What is unwavering dedication then? Perhaps at this point we can respond in a more concrete and real way. Unshakable dedication means offering our life in the service of the One Life, which manifests itself around you. Without yourself, without egocentrism, without the weight of your projections, without causing indescribable suffering to others who must submit to your projections of goodness, happiness, and perfection. When we understand this, no longer as an idea, but why we do it, and in this way we see its result, then we will know that we no longer need to adore our clay idols, our projections and idealizations, with their crooked, distorted images, like the writhing face of a self, seeking its fulfillment, its perpetuation in others and in everything around it. When we understand this, no longer as an idea, but why we do it, and in this way we see its result, then we will know that we no longer need to adore our clay idols, our projections and idealizations with their crooked, distorted images, like the writhing face of a self, seeking its fulfillment, its perpetuation in others and in everything around it. We will have understood that the One manifests itself in the fullness, in the totality of life, that wherever we are, there's the place destined for us by the All, that there is nothing fundamentally wrong in our lives, nothing to fix, nothing to deny, nothing to idealize in an obsession with the perfect impossibility or in an endless melancholy in the face of the unrealizable dream. We will be at peace. We will be ourselves, observing the world and finally seeing the beauty and perfection of the great carpet of destiny that the One has woven for everyone and also for us. We can no longer have any other attitude than to offer ourselves without reservation to the One, the Whole, which is inside and outside of us, everywhere and in everyone. Thus, the sixth way of the Spirit, unshakable dedication, will take over our whole being and will rise as a new recreating factor of life. Life will flow into the life of the whole. With the sixth way of the Spirit, we will finally offer all our capacities. And through the mystery of the seventh way of the Spirit, we will completely free ourselves by also offering the Self itself. So be it.